Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Peter King, live in Orlando. The polls close in an hour in most of Florida, 2 hours in the Western Panhandle. And then the counting starts for the Florida primary. Republicans Mitt Romney and John McCain are expected to be neck and neck. The issues bringing out the voters.
Health care, this war.
Economy and the war, both all gripped hand in hand.
Thought about the economy and health care.
Actually, nearly 50% of the voters chose the economy as their biggest issue, according to our CBS News exit poll. 63% of Republican voters told us the economy is in bad shape. Florida's the biggest prize so far. 57 delegates for the Republican winner, none for the Democrat, because Florida broke party rules by moving the date ahead of Super Tuesday. Now with more on the Democrats, here's Harley Carnes.
The only big story of note among the Democrats came from Kansas, where Governor Kathleen Sebelius gave her endorsement today.
Thank you, Kansas.
To Barack Obama. The House votes yes to economic stimulus. President Bush urged the Senate today not to mess with it.
Two-thirds being in the affirmative.
The overwhelming vote in the House moves the stimulus package to the Senate, where Democratic leaders say they want to make changes, including extending unemployment insurance benefits, funding road repair, and providing heating assistance for the poor. House Republican leader John Boehner, who negotiated the bill, says the Senate should leave it alone.
All of these other brilliant ideas will do nothing more than to reduce the size of the checks that the American people are expecting. I'm not sure that's going to go over real well.
The House's top Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, agrees, saying the Senate should take the House bill and pass it. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
CBS's Adrian Bard tells us Mexican officials have issued an arrest warrant for U.S. Marine Corporal Cesar Loren.
The U.S. Embassy has not said whether Loren has been cited again in Mexico, and they're not giving any new details about the case. But an official there did confirm that Mexico has issued a warrant for Loren's arrest. He reportedly fled to Mexico from Houston on a bus.
North Carolina has agreed if Mexico finds and turns him over, he won't face the death penalty. The Defense Department says it's still tough to control what happens to weapons the U.S. provides for Iraqi forces after they are in Iraqi hands. Some weapons, says Inspector General Claude Kickleiter, still wind up on the black market. The Federal Reserve is in the midst of its two-day meeting, which most analysts expect to result in another interest rate cut to be announced tomorrow afternoon. Greg McBride is at Bankrate.com.
My feeling is that they'll probably go by a quarter of a point, which would give us a full percentage point cut in about an eight-day span, and that would give them a little bit of insurance policy and buy them some time until that March meeting.
The lower price of money is expected to convince more people that this might be a good time to refinance or go ahead and buy that home. On Wall Street, the Dow today was up about 96 points. The Nasdaq gained 8. Oil at $91.64 a barrel gained 65 cents. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa. Replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12-3108.
What's happening at the Food and Drug Administration? Problems getting the research done is the rap these days.
Michigan Democrat Bart Stupak says Americans can't count on the FDA.
The report's findings are shocking and extensive.
We concluded that the FDA is in crisis.
Dr. Garrett Fitzgerald is among the experts calling for major funding increases.
Best to do this while the levees are leaking rather than after the hurricane has hit.
Former FDA lawyer Peter Barton Hutt says otherwise.
Without a strong scientific foundation, the agency will founder and ultimately it will fail.
In the meantime, it's overworked and overwhelmed. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Germans, where beer is called food, are drinking a lot less of it. Sales last year, the lowest since 1993, only 22 billion pints. Sales are up of namby-pamby but healthy fruit juices, soft drinks, and bottled water. Unexpectedly, beer prices in Germany are going up. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Welcome to Chapman's Cheeses.
Yes. What do you recommend today?
Well, there's a special on forgotten expenses and disorganized sales figures. But I highly recommend the lingering invoicing. Very well aged.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily deal with routine chores, like tracking sales, organizing expenses, and creating invoices, so you can get back to what you do best.
This is a cheese shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
We are live at the Conway Living Room for Phil and April's football party.
And what a party it is, Jim.
It's the coaching. You've really got to give Sam's Club credit, from the HDTV to the dip. They made sure the Conways were ready to go.
April's coming in with a veggie tray. Uh-oh, they're blitzing the carrot sticks.
Oh, me, oh, my. Phil burst in with some mini weenies. Holy little smoky. Come to Sam's Club where you'll find great values on everything you need for your football party. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid a 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 6 minutes after the hour. We've got a lot to talk about today, and I'm launching into a doubleheader myself. We've got this show, and then I get an hour for dinner, and I'll be live coast-to-coast on Air America tonight, in for John Elliott. You can access that on some of these same radio stations and, of course, online at airamerica.com. In our first hour, you're going to meet a woman who used to work for the State Department on weapons of mass destruction. She's not there anymore, and that's the story. Kurt Pitzer from Mother Jones broke it. He'll join us, too, with Linda Galini. Next hour, we get reaction to the lame duck Laskaff's State of the Union address from George W. Bush. Democratic Congresswoman from Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee, will join us. We're also going to get reaction from Andrea Batista Schlesinger. She advocates for working Americans out of the Drum Major Institute. We'll get her take on the State of the Union and the President's message. Maybe they're not the same. Also on today's program, Jason Leopold from truthout.org. And for some reason, Bush didn't find room for it in his speech last night. But yesterday, the Pentagon panhandlers put out a request for another $70 billion for Iraq and maybe a little for Afghanistan. We'll talk about that and Bush's challenge to the Congress over earmarks. Melanie Sloan from CREW will be with us in our third hour. She is the executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and there's no shortage of material in that line of work. And lots of room for your phone calls now and later on in the free speech zone. Lines are open and we pay for the call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My email's right in front of me. I usually check it at every break, so drop me a note if you feel like it. peter@peterbcollins.com. If you take exception to what I say, you can always try fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Don't add the SH, it won't get here. fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Those are the oils from Australia. Peter Garrett is now the environment minister of that country. And that song is called Put Down That Weapon. It's about nukes, or nuclear weapons, as our idiot president would say. Kurt Pitzer joins us from Mother Jones magazine. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm fine, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, and I'm glad that you broke this story. We also are joined by Linda Galini, who used to work in the State Department. Ms. Galini, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is an important story, and most Americans are now aware that the Justice Department has been heavily politicized under the Bush administration. And people know that when Rumsfeld ran the Pentagon, that things were done his way. But most people don't know that at Foggy Bottom, the headquarters of the State Department there in Washington, that there's been a purge underway since the Bush administration took over. And I want you to tell us more about, you know, the difference between Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice on some of these issues. But let me start with you, Kurt Pitzer. Give us a little backdrop here of the history of the State Department and why Linda Galini's resignation and her departure, among others, is significant.
Well, you know, the State Department plays a very important role in maintaining the treaties that we've relied on to help us stem the spread of nuclear weapons and other weapons of mass destruction. These treaties are bilateral, multilateral things that other countries sign on to as well, and we sign on to, and we need to speak to people from other countries, and that requires our diplomats and going out there and doing that sort of fuzzy work of give and take and trying to uphold the treaties and making sure everyone's sort of in line with it, you know, again and again and again. It's an ongoing process. And that's what's made it so important to have careerists that are below the political level who've been there for many, many years, some of them decades, who really know their stuff and know, I think Linda described them as the ballast, you know, as political appointees come in on the upper level, the people who really do the grunt work of keeping the treaties going and carrying that knowledge, that brain trust, are the careerists. And that level of persons has been, for the first time ever, replaced or moved aside by this administration.
And Linda Galini, what is your history? When did you start at the Department of State? And give us a quick description of your rise through the ranks, if that's what happened.
I started at the State Department in September of 1976. I've worked for six different presidents in both Republican and Democratic administrations. And as Kurt has said, the career folks in the State Department do see themselves as sort of the anchor for weathering whatever political changes come and go. And we try very hard to provide the expertise that allows political appointees to do their jobs well. Unfortunately, in this administration, it's been a real challenge. I have worked primarily on nuclear issues for 30 years. I started in what was the fourth smallest federal agency called the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, which has now been folded into the State Department. And then in 1984 moved into the State Department and have gradually worked my way up in the ranks. Worked as special assistant to our ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency, worked as the deputy office director in the Bureau of Nonproliferation, which is also now defunct, and it's been folded in to the Arms Control Bureau. And without getting into a lot of detail, it was a very messy process that transpired in the fall of 2005. And it was basically run by political appointees and clearly directed against the career employees.
And Linda, you recognize that while you are the real baseline of the agency, that political operators view you as an obstacle to either getting their friends cushy jobs at the State Department, which is, you know, kind of more immediate issue, but also to trying to change policies. And I referenced Rumsfeld at the Pentagon. He wanted to really redraw the entire military command structure, and he was brutal in the way he forced his subordinates to adopt that new program. But we really, the public, is little aware of these kinds of things going on at the Department of State.
Well, you're absolutely right that, in general, political appointees come in with a certain level of sometimes distrust, sometimes confusion about what career people are doing there. And by and large, in my experience, they got over it pretty quickly until the current administration. And you're absolutely right. It's been a rather brutal operation. Supposedly, there are mechanisms in place to try and protect career
employees from political extremists, but in this case, they certainly fell by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw in the State Department was a reorganization that was initially approved by Colin Powell, but he vanished and Secretary Rice came in. She also decided to go ahead with the reorganization, and so it was, as I said, transpired in the fall of 2005, and it was executed entirely by political appointees who were determined to sideline and marginalize the career folks. We had about 200 people in the Nonproliferation Bureau, and the last I knew, they had about 50 vacancies, and that's an extraordinary number.
Yeah. Well, and all this against the backdrop of an administration that went to war over WMDs, an administration that leaked and exposed the identity of a top CIA operative on anti-proliferation tactics related to WMD. And when you see that internally they gutted the bureaucracies, the apparatus that had been set up for many years to try to monitor and control proliferation of nuclear technology and capabilities, it's really stunning. I mean, it's hard to grasp that people like Cheney and Bush, who so publicly fear us up over a suitcase nuke or a rogue nation with a nuclear weapon, and those are very real threats. I don't mean to dismiss them. But they have been hyped and used for political purposes, used for electoral purposes. I was asking myself the other day, you know, did Tom Ridge take the color code home with him when he resigned from Homeland Security? You know, they've just forgotten all about that. You go to an airport and they tell you it's orange. But, you know, for the most part, the issues related to weapons of mass destruction and the critical issues about proliferation focused on Pakistan first and also the sweetheart deal that Bush cut with India. It's breathtaking how schizophrenic, that may be too generous a term, this administration has been on these critical policies.
I think you've summed it up very nicely.
Kurt, you want to add something here? We're going to a break in about a minute.
Well, I think it's important to realize that the job of the people like Linda has been, just to, not to overemphasize this, but their job has always been to support the policy of whomever came in. It wasn't like they were, should be seen as getting in the way of somebody's policy. Their job was simply to support with facts, but to raise, and very quietly and on an internal scale, little flags if they thought that, maybe you shouldn't do this or that because you didn't have enough knowledge, them speaking to the new political people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But, this gutting of the careerists really happened after some flags were raised over the run-up to the invasion of Iraq when, there were a lot of people on the international side in Vienna and at the UN who were saying, well, we'd like a little more time for the inspectors. And those who carried that message to John Bolton and others in the State Department were suddenly seen as enemies.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. Kurt Pitzer is with us, a journalist who writes for Mother Jones Magazine. That's where you can find this story. Their website is motherjones.com. Linda Galini is the former State Department official who is with us on the program. They're with us both for this entire hour. So if you have a question or comment, you can call in right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Car Moshe'el is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Car Moshe'el at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2008 Audi TT Coupe, a zippy little sports car that's a lot of fun if you can afford it. The TT's sleek design and 3.2-liter six-cylinder engine with direct injection produce an amazing land rocket. The six-speed automatic has a dual-clutch gearbox, and even though I'm not sure how it works, it's one of the smoothest in recent memory. Handling, traction, and the Quattro all-wheel drive, all excellent. Inside, it's roomier than most of its competitors and has all the gadgets you'd expect. Before you buy a roadster, including Porsche, BMW, Mercedes, or Mazda, be sure to take a spin in an Audi TT. By the numbers, the Audi TT gets 18 mpg in the city, 24 on the highway, and sells in California for about $48,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with former State Department employee Linda Galini. She served 30 years working for the U.S. government at the Department of State and resigned in 2005 as a result of essentially a purge that started under Colin Powell and seemed to gain steam under Condoleezza Rice. Linda Galini, first of all, was this shift a matter of philosophy or simply bringing cronies on board? What's your sense there?
I think it was a combination of both ideology and political cronyism. When the Bush administration came into power, the gentleman who became our overall supervisor and boss was Mr. Bolton. And it was pretty clear early on that Mr. Bolton didn't really care much for career employees. He didn't care much for international treaties, and he didn't care much for international organizations.
Well, can we be fair? He's kind of a monster, isn't he?
Well, our office...
You're a diplomat. You don't use words like that, right?
Our office had the had 12 officers, all 12 of whom were career employees. We worked on an international organization, the International Atomic Energy Agency,
mm-hmm.
and an international treaty which has been regarded as the most successful arms control treaty in history. It's known as the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. And so we sort of had three strikes against us from the beginning. And by the time the fateful reorganization took place in the fall of 2005, we went from 12 officers to four that are now remaining.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear that the political appointees, at least in the nuclear part of the State Department, were much less interested in facts and much more interested in their own views.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a career officer provided anything resembling a dissent or a disagreement, it was seen as disloyalty.
Mm-hmm. In the run-up to the war in Iraq, we saw over at the Pentagon that the Office of Special Plans brought in Doug Feith and a whole crew of people, and they kicked out career military folks like Karen Kwiatkowski and others who we've had the chance to interview in the intervening years. Was this purge or the house cleaning, did it start and was it originally focused around the issues of invading Iraq?
Largely, initially.
Mm-hmm.
Both Hans Blix and Dr. Mohammed El-Baradei are people that I have known for many years, and I have high regard for their integrity and their honesty. And when both of them started to inform the White House that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction, had not reconstituted its nuclear program, I believed them.
Mm-hmm.
And we were seeing on a daily basis information coming in from the International Atomic Energy Agency. We worked very closely with them that made it pretty clear that there was not a redeveloped nuclear weapons program in Iraq.
Yeah.
And those were facts that political appointees were not interested in hearing.
Mm-hmm. And what was the byplay with Secretary Powell? Because we know that he now has deep regrets for his February 2003 speech at the United Nations. But he was in a difficult political position as a military man in the State Department.
Well, Secretary Powell, I think, was one of the most highly regarded secretaries of state ever.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, the employees at the State Department were delighted during his tenure to have him there. He's one of the rare secretaries who actually realizes that there are people in the building, and he paid attention to the people and the needs that they had. Having said that, you're absolutely right. He was in a very difficult situation, and
mm-hmm.
there were some individuals that basically had freer rein than I suspect he wanted them to have.
Yeah, Kurt Pitzer, jump in here for Mother Jones. Go ahead.
Well, I just think what people forget is that if you look back at what was happening at that moment that Powell made that fateful speech, I think, you know, the one to the UN Security Council on February 5th or whenever it was, nobody was asking to clarify whether there were or were not weapons at that moment. I mean, no one outside of the United States. All of the, you know, Mohammed El-Baradei and Hans Blix and the inspectors who were on the ground were simply asking for more time to continue their work.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sort of artificial need for a moment of truth here and now, and that was the thing that forced the hand. It wasn't that El-Baradei and Blix and company were insisting that there were no programs or nothing left to find,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they were wrong, and therefore Linda Galini and the people who listened to them were wrong.
Yeah, I got
to
stop for a break. Sorry, Kurt. We'll be right back. Kurt Pitzer from Mother Jones, Linda Galini, former State Department official. And we'll take your calls in the next segment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Today's Republican primary in Florida could send either Mitt Romney or John McCain into Super Tuesday a week from today with momentum and a clear lead in delegates. Those two are in a dead heat in the Florida polls, and for Rudy Giuliani, it could be make or break for his pursuit of the Republican presidential nomination. We'll hear from all three after this.
Now Billy's home with a bad mucus.
I feel a mucus coming on myself.
I heard there was a mucus going around.
Robitussin knows you don't catch a mucus. You catch a cold, which can come with coughing and other symptoms like congestion, a stuffy nose, or a scratchy throat. So why do some medicines act like mucus is your only symptom? Robitussin has customized formulas to relieve whatever comes with your cold, even mucus.
Gesundheit.
Robitussin has formulas to relieve all your cough and cold symptoms, even mucus. Use as directed.
TurboTax presents great Grammy moments. The Black Eyed Peas have won a Grammy for the last three consecutive years.
There's been tears.
Heart flutters. My heart's beating like hip-hop beats right now, like... That's what my heart's doing right now. It's like hip-hop experience in the Grammys house.
Will Fergie and Will.i.am make it a four-peat? Don't miss the 50th Annual Grammy Awards, Sunday, February 10th at 8 p.m. on CBS TV. This Grammy moment courtesy of TurboTax.com. TurboTax. Choose easy.
John McCain and Mitt Romney have certainly not been ignoring one another in Florida. Here's Romney on McCain.
There's another guy running on our side, Senator McCain. He's a good man. He's a hero. But his views on the economy, well, I think are sort of summed up by his own statement that it's not really something he understands that well.
And here's McCain on Romney.
One thing I think we should really give Governor Romney credit for, he is consistent. He's consistently taken both sides of any major issue. He has consistently flip-flopped on every issue.
One or the other of them could come out of today's primary with a distinct advantage going into the 22-state primary marathon a week from today, Super Tuesday, as it's called. But the candidate with the most at stake today is former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. He's been banking on Florida. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts asked him,
if you don't win in Florida, how do you go forward?
Look, we're going to win in Florida.
What if you don't?
Oh, well, my goodness, in a foreign election, you don't talk about what happens if. You talk about winning the election.
But for those ready to count Giuliani out, Ken Vogel, the senior reporter at Politico.com, says, remember, not so long ago, almost everybody was counting McCain out.
I think it might be a little bit too early to count Rudy Giuliani out. Remember, he really put all his eggs into the Florida basket.
But if he doesn't win in Florida, says Vogel,
he's going to have a real rough time recovering because he's already running on fumes financially. His fundraising had kind of dried up as he had disappointing finishes in those early states. And he needs to get a bounce from Florida, both to raise money and to kind of get the energy going into the February 5th states.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This hour, we're joined by Kurt Pitzer, a journalist who has a powerful new story in the latest issue of Mother Jones. It's called Off Target. And with us is the subject of that piece, Linda Galini, who spent 30 years working at the U.S. State Department and resigned after seeing very uncomfortable changes take place under the administrations of Condoleezza Rice and before that, Secretary Colin Powell. And if you want to call in, we'll take your calls in this segment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Kurt, I had to cut you off because our commercial breaks come on like a freight train, and I'm sorry about that. Did you want to finish that thought? Or maybe you don't even remember.
No, no sweat. I was just just thinking in the break about how we've spent all of this energy talking about trying to stop the spread of nuclear weapons, and yet the irony is that the people who are most experienced in doing that in our own State Department have been targeted and pushed out of their positions as a vendetta. And I think it's best to ask Linda exactly what put her in the crosshairs over a simple support for not looking silly in opposing Mohammed El-Baradei's reappointment as the IAEA leader.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can ask Linda about that. I'm going to give her a leading question.
Yeah, you heard the question. Linda, go right ahead. Tell us about that.
It was a difficult situation, but our immediate boss, Mr. Bolton, decided to oppose reappointment of the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency for another term, and led a campaign that was not very well thought through, in my judgment. And I took the step of making my views known to Mr. Bolton's staff that if he was serious about his endeavor, he needed to make some changes in what he was doing. And my views were not welcome in Mr. Bolton's office. And it was interesting to watch the progression, because I had predicted to one of Mr. Bolton's staff members exactly what would happen, that the United States would end up being embarrassed and isolated, and that at the end, Dr. El-Baradei would have another term because he was incredibly popular internationally and a very capable leader. And one of Mr. Bolton's staff called me right after Dr. El-Baradei did get his reappointment and said, "I never told you, you were wrong." So it was a difficult process to watch for a number of months as this all played out.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, the fact that I was willing to express my views and to criticize what my superior was doing was taken as disloyalty.
Yeah. And in five preceding administrations, I imagine you gave the same kind of straight-up advice, and they didn't punish you for it.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things that you learn to do as a career person is to try and, when you have a differing opinion, you try and present it as positively and diplomatically as you can. And I have never seen the kind of reaction in any other administration that I did in our current administration
mm-hmm.
to the notion that someone would actually take issue with one of the neoconservative views.
That's Linda Galini, 30 years at the U.S. State Department. We're also joined today by Kurt Pitzer from Mother Jones Magazine, and now Dan from North Bend, Oregon, listening on KBBR. Welcome, Dan.
Hello. How you doing?
Good to talk to you again.
I have a couple questions about the Nigeria and the yellowcake uranium.
Yes, Niger.
From what I'm hearing from different sources and stuff like that on the internet is that they did say that Iraq was actively seeking yellowcake uranium in Nigeria, but they were unsuccessful. And internal communications within Iraq led them to believe that there was a program going on.
Well,
I'd like to get some clarification on that.
Okay. First of all...
I didn't hear the question.
Okay.
I can't hear.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. Dan, I'll relay the question. Thank you for your call. He was asking about the Niger yellowcake allegations that the president inserted in the State of the Union message in 2002. Over the objections, we now know, of officers at the CIA and perhaps some State Department officials as well. But Dan was saying that he seems to believe some of those allegations that Iraq had been seeking to purchase the yellow cake from Niger. Linda, was there any evidence that you knew of that you can comment on to that effect?
No. But
I
would just add that Niger is an impoverished country, and one of the few resources that it is able to export is yellowcake. And there have been rumors over the years, many times, about who was seeking yellow cake and was it being sought in Niger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not unusual to hear this kind of rumor.
Kurt, go ahead.
I was going to say, I could speak to that a little bit. I had very close contact with some of the scientists in the former nuclear program in Iraq, after the fall of Baghdad, and even helped one of them get to the United States, where, with nothing left to lose or gain by being anything other than honest, really laid out their efforts to find out all of these, the truth about all of these allegations while the inspectors were on the ground in the run-up to the war, and went to great lengths themselves to comb through anyone from the former programs back, both all of which had been abandoned in after 1990-91, just to see if anyone might, sort of rogue element within the Iraqi former WMD programs might have gone on their own, and they simply couldn't find any evidence on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, at the time, they had a lot of motivation for doing so. They were trying to prevent an invasion by coming up with the right answer.
Yeah. Now, Linda, let me pose it to you this way. About a month ago, I interviewed Valerie Plame Wilson, and while she's forbidden to comment on most of the work that she did at the agency, one of the things she said that surprised me was that it wasn't really until Colin Powell's speech that alarm bells started to go off in her head that, we were moving forward to shock and awe on faulty intelligence. And I find it stunning that, people whose job is to be aware of virtually everything, that's what intelligence means, would be so blinded, so tunnel vision-ish in not even considering the prospect that Saddam Hussein was bluffing. And I'm wondering inside the State Department if any discussion like that was permitted, and were there skeptics or people whose job it was to just poke holes in the conventional wisdom of the day so that we would carefully examine these issues and not be snookered the way we were?
One of the things that you learn when you work with intelligence information is to be very careful about what is in the information and can you find additional information to confirm or deny what you're looking at. And so you really need an iterative process of having facts confirming facts before you rely on a specific piece or several pieces of intelligence. And certainly many of the career folks working on nuclear issues in the State Department use intelligence information routinely and try to do exactly that, try to make sure that they're very careful with it and that they can build a strong enough case to rely on the information. And I think in the run-up to the war on Iraq, there was an awful lot of disregarding of fact and using information or, I don't want to say manufactured information, but it almost seemed like whatever was what the decision makers were looking for is what they seized upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they took the aluminum tubes and said, well, that's all we need.
Well, I could say something about the aluminum tubes as well. There were plenty of people within the Department of Energy who were, who more or less could prove that they weren't the right tubes. They just didn't have the right resilience and the right dimensions, and they were completely different from the tubes that were known to have been used in the Iraqi program, which had been reverse engineered. The Iraqis would have had to rebuild their program from scratch to use such tubes. And it's a complicated issue, but there were very smart people who had been following it all along. And the few who spoke up in favor of the tubes being evidence were listened to. And I think, history will show the majority of experts were saying that they didn't think those were the right tubes.
Mm-hmm. But I want to come back to the double bluff here, Linda Galini, because it just stuns me that our administration was so bent on believing that Saddam had these weapons that they were willing to attack without real solid confirmation. And at the same time, they seem to have very few regrets about the way they were buffaloed on these very critical issues that were the linchpins of our rationale for going to war, at least the original rationale.
possible that some of those people that were making those decisions still think they're right. But all I can say is in the offices where I worked in the State Department, there was an awful lot of concern about what was being decided and the direction we were going in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that when you put forward a point of view and it is either disregarded or made clear that it's a very undesirable point of view that you're presenting, career people tend to hunker down because they obviously are there for their careers. And it's a very difficult and painful experience for career folks to go through the kind of utter disregard and yet still trying to do their jobs and do their best to make the facts known.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another call. Hopefully you'll be able to hear this. Deborah in Carmel, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi there. Does the phenomenon of privatizing everything, putting your work in the hands of a for-profit corporation, enter in here? And then secondly, Wolfowitz was given a new job within the last week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of power does this committee that he was appointed to head up have, and is he at all qualified to do the job? Should we be scared?
All right, Deborah, thank you. Privatization, was that an issue here, Linda?
No. When you work on nuclear issues in the State Department, you're basically working on a whole range of different topics, and you really don't get into ownership issues.
Mm-hmm. And what about Wolfowitz's new assignment at State?
You know, I really can't speak to that. I know of the gentleman, but I have not worked with him or even in his vicinity enough to give you any kind of good comment.
All right, Kurt, what do you know?
Well, nothing more than that, as your caller said, we should probably be scared. And it will be seen to be seen how much, you know, he's listened to. I mean, in an advisory role, he could sort of play whatever amount of heaven is. Much power as those listening to him want to give him, and mm-hmm. I just don't know what the specifics are with the ties. It's early days.
Gotcha. Okay, we're going to take a break and return with Kurt Pitzer from Mother Jones Magazine and Linda Galini, former State Department officer. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you want to grab the podcast and share it with a friend, go to peterbcollins.com.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees.
Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Former State Department employee Linda Galini, 30 years working for our government and focusing much of her career on nuclear nonproliferation and weapons of mass destruction. She has described for us this hour some of the dramatic changes that took place at her department, first under Colin Powell and then under Condoleezza Rice. And the story's been broken by Kurt Pitzer, published in Mother Jones magazine. He also has a story going back to 2005 that Katrina Rill, my producer, pulled up for me about some of the scientists, the Iraqi nuclear scientists and other bioweapon scientists that Kurt Pitzer profiled in a story. You can find that at the Mother Jones website. Linda, I wanted to ask you, there's a powerful book by British journalists Adrian Levy and Catherine Scott Clark called Deception, and in it, they say that the U.S. government knew about Pakistan's nuclear capabilities and their proliferation for a long, long time. What can you tell us about that? Is that true?
The United States has been concerned about the direction of Pakistan's nuclear program for decades, and it's something that has been worked very carefully and in some detail by a number of people in the State Department.
And so that's kind of, but did we know, for example, the extent to which A.Q. Khan was wheeling and dealing, sometimes in his private citizen capacity and sometimes in his official capacity, and delivering plans and materials to North Korea, to Iran, and we think Libya as well?
Well, the extent of the A.Q. Khan network was a pretty dramatic discovery, and not a welcome one at all, because it demonstrates the new level of threat that the world is facing in terms of what we call sub-state actors. Much of the work that's been done in the proliferation world has focused on countries. Now we have a whole different dimension, smuggling networks, terrorism. It's become a more complex world and a more complex problem, which means that it makes it even, in my judgment, sadder that we've lost so much expertise on these issues.
Mm-hmm. But if you were there for 30 years, at what point did we become aware of A.Q. Khan's network?
It's been several years ago.
All right. Adrian Levy says that it dates back to the 1980s. Is that a stretch in your mind?
I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to pretend one way or another.
All right.
I do.
Kurt, do you have a comment there?
I do have a little comment. We certainly knew that A.Q. Khan was, it wasn't a big secret from a lot of intelligence agencies that Khan got what he got out of working with the Dutch. I think it was Urenco materials that he brought back to Pakistan and that he set up his program as early as the 80s. In fact, even the Iraqis sort of, you know, were inspired by that in their own program in the late 1980s. And a lot of people knew about their program too. not the extent of it. I think a lot of details weren't known, but certainly he was on the radar, as were the Iraqis in their program in the late 1980s. But you remember in the until 88 or 89, the Iraqis were considered allies in the war with Iran that had just ended.
Mm-hmm.
And there was sort of a hands-off approach to them. And in a similar way, that kind of approach has continued through with Pakistan, too. No one's wanted to really push them too hard.
And Linda Galena, another question. What about Mark Grossman? He was number three at the State Department. How does he fit into the revamping and the house cleaning of professionals like yourself?
To the best of my knowledge, he was not directly involved in much of what was going on in the nuclear realm. That really fell into the bailiwick of first Mr. Bolton and then Mr. Bob Joseph, mm-hmm. who replaced Mr. Bolton.
Okay. Recently, a woman named Sybelle Edmonds, who worked at the FBI and has been subjected to a rather remarkable gag order by the administration under the so-called state secret privilege, she's given a series of interviews to the Times of London, which allege that Mark Grossman actually traded nuclear secrets and exposed the front company, Brewster Jennings, that Valerie Plame Wilson was involved with in her work at the CIA, to some Turkish operatives. And separately, she alleges that Grossman received a $15,000 payment, all of this based on intercepts that she was translating in her job at the FBI. Do you have any comment on that, Linda?
It sounds pretty far-fetched, but I don't have first-hand knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm. Kurt, do you care? Care to comment?
No, I don't either. I'm not a story I'm familiar with.
All right. Let's go to Julie in Sacramento. Julie, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Peter B. and Linda and Kurt.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. Well, not a question. First, a comment. And it's a heartfelt, patriotic sadness for Linda and what she has gone through.
Well, thank you. Can you speak up just a little bit? We got a low circuit here.
Okay. My heartfelt patriotic sadness goes to Linda for what she has endured. And my question is, have you read Project for a New American Century and how that has affected you? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Julie. Mm-hmm. PNAC, Project for a New American Century.
Linda? I personally have not read that, mm-hmm. but I certainly will go and do so.
Okay, there's a lot of information at the website there. I think it's still up. It's pretty amazing. It's a blueprint for many of the moves the Bush administration has made in the Middle East. Let's go to Paula in Sacramento. Thanks for your call, Paula. We just have a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have just a quickie concerning the deception and so on that's been going on. It's about, does anyone know anything about that missile that had disappeared? And also that understated...
Which missile disappeared?
The one when they had the scramble in the fall or late summer.
You mean when they shipped from North Dakota to Barksdale?
Mm-hmm. And then Bush's speech about reducing our nuclear arsenal from whatever it was to 15 or 25%, it just is very disturbing, and considering the current administration's outlook and the smuggling and the arms sales and everything else that goes on. I wonder if anybody's put any of that together.
All right.
It's been bothering.
Thank you for your question. Kurt, do you want to comment on that?
I missed the first bit. I think it was about a disappeared missile. I just don't know anything.
Yeah, it was about the shipment in late August. Apparently some nuclear missiles were sent from Minot, South Dakota to Barksdale in Louisiana, and there have been a lot of questions about the manner in which that occurred.
Yeah, I remember the story. I don't really have any special knowledge about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, I share the concern of the caller about the sort of say one thing and do another of we're going to reduce our nuclear arsenal, and then we sort of don't, and we start developing new types of nuclear arms. And this, priority that this administration has made on talking about weapons of mass destruction when, on the other hand, all of these things, letting go of the nuclear non-proliferation treaty and let that be sort of debased
mm-hmm.
by letting people, targeting people like Linda and by doing a sweetheart deal with India, which never signed the treaty.
Right. I got to stop here. Kurt Pitzer from Mother Jones, thank you very much. Linda Galena, thank you for your service to our nation.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Florida, the end of the road for Rudy Giuliani.
We are concentrated on today. Today alone, we're not going to deal with any hypothetical questions. We are going to win today.
The stimulus bill passes the House.
The temptation is going to be for the Senate loaded up.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Florida primary polls will be open one more hour. What's on voters' minds as they cast their ballots?
The experience of the candidate that I wanted to vote for.
Immigration, the economy, and health care.
The future. Who's going to take us through this recession?
According to exit polls, the economy is the biggest concern by far. Nearly half the respondents said it's the most important thing right now. Rudy Giuliani's fate could be sealed tonight. He's bet the farm on Florida, but the polls show him running third or even fourth behind Mike Huckabee. CBS News chief political correspondent Jeff Greenfield says Giuliani's campaign might be over.
If he does not show a remarkable revival in Florida tonight, his choice seems to be between dropping out of the race or pushing on to New York and risking humiliation in the city that he ran for 8 years. And the city whose stewardship, he says, justifies a presidential run.
The polls show a very close race between John McCain and Mitt Romney. Romney tells audience that he's the best qualified to fix the economy. McCain talks up his national security credentials.
The real key, I think, here in Florida is who can keep America safe? Who is it that has got the experience and background and knowledge to take on the challenge of radical Islamic extremism?
Hillary Clinton is expected to win what amounts to a beauty contest for the Democrats. The party stripped the state of its convention delegates for holding this primary so early. Now this.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax liens.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
The FBI confirms it's investigating 14 companies linked to the subprime mortgage meltdown for possible fraud or insider trading. The firms haven't been named, but officials say this probe started last spring. In the House today,
two-thirds being in the affirmative, the rules are suspended, the bill is passed, and without
the economic stimulus plan negotiated by House leaders and President Bush was approved overwhelmingly after a little debate, but it could stall in the Senate, where some members want to expand the package by billions of dollars. The president warns against the temptation to load it up.
We need to get this bill out of the Senate and on my desk so the checks can get in the hands of our consumers.
Who could spend the money even before they get it? CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has that.
Walmart says it's inspired by the government economic stimulus plan, so the world's largest retailer is cutting prices by 10% to 30% on thousands of items, including food and also electronic items that did not sell as well as companies had hoped at holiday time. Also on offer, Walmart credit cards that charge no interest for 18 months if you spend $250 or more. Dan Revive, CBS News.
A widely watched index of home prices shows they fell 8.4% in November, with 14 of the country's 20 largest metropolitan areas posting record declines. Economist Robert Shiller, one of the developers of the index, calls it another grim milestone. But as CBS News correspondent Ben Tracy reports, some people see a buying opportunity.
For anyone looking to buy a home, or for people who haven't been able to afford one for the last couple of years, now is becoming a pretty good time to buy in terms of there are a lot of bargains out there. The banks who have repossessed a lot of these homes are now selling these homes at a pretty stiff discount.
Wall Street's betting on another Fed rate cut tomorrow. The Dow closed 96 points higher at 12,480, and the NASDAQ gained 8 points. Strong wind is fanning wildfires in Texas. 2,000 acres have been scorched, at least 24 buildings destroyed. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa. Replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12/31/08.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold returns, reporter at truthout.org. And we're going to talk about the item that Bush couldn't fit in the State of the Union message last night. It's another demand for $70 billion for the mess in Iraq. But first, we get reaction to the, what did I call it, the lame duck last gasp State of the Union address from George W. Bush. And Andrea Batista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute joins us this half hour. Andrea, nice to talk to you again.
Great to be here.
Gosh, it's been a whole 5 or 6 days.
I've missed you.
And we had expected to hear from Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, but something came up, and she is unable to join us. So I'm very glad that Andrea can. And without prompting, what was your reaction to the president's speech last night?
Well, it was definitely an ideological address, and I think, you know, the press and the pundits today, they've been focusing so much on the symbolic value, you know, so much on whether Clinton and Obama said hello to each other and, you know, how many times Congress rose to applaud and, you know, but this was not an address that will go away when the president does, the ideology behind it. You know, I agree with you. This was a lame duck address, but the ideas aren't lame duck. I mean, mm-hmm. This was about market solutions to healthcare and education, no matter what you mask them, name-wise, whether you call a voucher a Pell Grant for kid doesn't change it. This was about tax cutting. You know, this was about allowing corporations to go to violate our agreements with them with impunity. You know, this was an ideological address.
One of the things that I found fascinating, the recurring rhetorical theme, was about trusting the American people. We're going to trust them with their own tax dollars. And it's really interesting because he doesn't trust the American people, 70% of whom oppose his mess in Iraq. He doesn't trust the American people enough to stop spying on us. But when it comes to, you know, those muscular Republican themes of individual responsibility and freedom, he just laps that stuff up, doesn't he?
Well, you know, he got elected saying the same thing, and we lapped it up then. you know, that he was going to trust us to keep our money in our pockets. But, you know, the trust, responsibility, empowerment, I mean, obviously, these were his themes, but the policy, because it is masked by ideology, doesn't actually get you there. I mean, it's not empowering to deal with a foreclosure crisis when the president's main proposal is one that's voluntary. You know, he talked about an increase in volunteerism, but I don't think that applied to the mortgage sector. You know, his Hope Now program is voluntary for the mortgage industry to opt in. You know, no discussion of systemic reform or how the government abdicated its responsibility to regulate. You know, you talk about responsibility, and you're not going to talk about the government's role in the foreclosure crisis.
And I heard nary a word about predatory lending practices.
Well, of course, because then you'd have to get into government's responsibility to keep an eye on the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what I mean. I mean, these themes of trust and responsibility don't apply to the administration.
Now, I recall at one point he brought Social Security back into the conversation. And I almost fell out of my my soft chair there. And I have this BS detector that I got at the Sharper Image. And it was flashing red, and the alarm was going off constantly. But at one point, he said, yeah, you know, we need to recognize that Medicare and Social Security are going to have problems in the future if we don't deal with them. And then he said, I've told you what my proposals are, and I want to hear yours. Now, that is such a fatuous lie, because he did, 2 years ago, go parading around and talked about reforming Social Security. But he never, ever proposed a piece of legislation.
Well, of course not. He gave us an ideological approach of privatization, of taking Social Security, which is an insurance program, and turning it into an investment opportunity. And that's, you know, that's what this address was about. And but let's not pretend that this is that these ideas and the ideology driving them are somehow limited to the president's State of the Union. We've got a party arguing over who is the biggest tax cutter, over, you know, who is going to, pursue a trade policy that will get us into the same situation that we're in now. I thought it was that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. The call for immigration reform at the same time is talking about accepting yet another trade agreement that will perpetuate the situation that we're in now was the definition of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but we've got a party running on this stuff. These ideas aren't going away.
Yeah. So anything good in the speech that you found last night, Andrea?
Well, you know, the stimulus package isn't all bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was a sign on the desk of secretaries that I used to see when I was lack of preparation on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part.
Yeah.
And he said to Congress, do not delay, do not derail. And all of a sudden he has urgency when, you know, obviously we have known of the need for a discussion like this for a long time. But really what he's saying is don't try to make this this stimulus package work for the people that we know it needs to work for. I'd rather pursue my business tax incentive. So it's but in general it was okay. You know, he did sign this good energy bill. It wasn't as good as what the House was prepared to give him, but he did sign it. There was some mortgage reform. There were some mortgage reform ideas that were okay. So I mean, it's somewhat hard to dig up some of these smaller points in the face of this, you know, pretty blatant, you know, conservative ideological address that offered, you know, not much for us.
Yeah. And did you have a chance to watch the Democratic response from Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius?
You know, I didn't, because our team sits around the TV, and as soon as he's done on domestic policy, we figure out what our response is going to be and spend the next few hours punching away.
Mm-hmm.
I did read it, but I didn't see it. I heard that it wasn't so stirring.
Well, they did it with Tim Kaine, the new governor of Virginia, a couple of years ago. Last year was Jim Webb, which I thought was worthwhile. But Sebelius, it's interesting because I grew up in Ohio, in Cincinnati, and her dad was a congressman there, Jack Gilligan, who also served a term as governor in Ohio. And he was much more liberal than his daughter, I'll just say that. But what she offered was a very cautious, post-partisan, centrist approach. And she did tweak the president a little bit on a couple of issues about bringing home her National Guard troops and a few other issues. But frankly, I thought it was very weak, and that you don't have to be calling names and getting personal to be partisan. But I would have much rather seen a Charlie Rangel an out populist like that up there to really address the issues of working Americans in the middle class.
Yeah, this post-partisan language that is really catching hold seems to ignore the fact that you need two to do that.
Yeah.
And the president wasn't pursuing a course of moderation. You know, he tried to throw some bones at Congress about their good work that needed to be continued on. But otherwise, this was really an ideological address, and I wish there was more. Of course, you're doing it, but I wish there was more substantive discussion of these proposals, because this is going to turn into legislation, and it's also what the Republican candidates are warring over.
Mm-hmm. And so which proposals do you think the Republicans will try to champion and turn into campaign issues this year?
Well, obviously the 01 and 03 tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And why not? I mean, the total after-tax income going to the top 1% of households reached a record high in 07.
Right.
So why not?
Mm-hmm.
I think the president is talking about health savings accounts. That's a free market solution to health care, and free market meaning experiment with your lives if you're not the very wealthy and the very healthy. The Republican candidates are debating, are having that conversation now. In terms of legislation, it'll be interesting to see what the Senate does on the stimulus package. We know that extending and expanding unemployment benefits is one of the best ways to stimulate the economy.
Well, but it appears the Senate is going to adopt a leave no millionaire behind approach and make sure that a $600 check goes to somebody who can use it to make a payment on a Lexus,
It just doesn't seem fair, and this was the thing that when I was listening to the address when he said, and this was his attempt to say that the economy is struggling, we're in a period of uncertainty. And I think the only time you can say that it's a period is when you know it's going to end. And this idea that it's inevitable that we will get out of this ignores the fact that there are choices you have to make in order to get out of it. And, these choices around the stimulus package, you either let, millionaires drive their Lexus, or do you give unemployment insurance to the people who are already losing their jobs and surely going to continue losing their jobs? Why does that have to be the choice?
Right. Well, but this president has often presented things in very stark, false-choice manner, and it seems to be a rhetorical habit of his.
Well, it's easier to, obviously easier to simplify, but look, I mean, that false choice is also what the Senate is giving us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the congressional conversation. So, I think what's good about the address is that because it was so clear, because the ideology is so clear, it is so easy now to move on from this moment because we understand the ideology that drives these public policies. When we talk about the policies in a vacuum and we don't look at the overall forces driving them, it's easy to have tunnel vision. So in this case, I think, let's talk about this address. I think we progressives, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the ideology driving and saying, are we really still having this conversation?
All right, we're going to take a break and continue the conversation. Andrea Batista Schlesinger is with us from the Drum Major Institute in New York. Log on to their website at drummajorinstitute.org. Also, there's a great new website that we talked about from Washington last week called themiddleclass.org. Check that one out, too. More coming up. Your calls and comments welcome on the President's State of the Union message, 888-5-PETER-B. Call 888-573-8372.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Well, good morning. I'm Erica Martin. Let's take a look at KRXA traffic. At last report, it was all about Highway 1. Most of these crashes have been cleared from the roadway, but still some activity in Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 before Soquel Avenue, with a crash off to the shoulder. In Rio Del Mar, also northbound Highway 1, just before Rio Del Mar Boulevard, a big rig in a crash. You'll see him off to the right shoulder as well. And in Sand City, a crash has been cleared, southbound Highway 1 before Fremont Boulevard, but again, some activity off to the side of the highway. This look at traffic, thanks to Macy's. Treat yourself. Redeem the Macy's gift card you received and get the perfect gift. It's happy holidays all over again from Macy's. Checking your forecast, KRXA Weather says partly cloudy skies continue this morning. Some showers this afternoon and rain continues this evening. Current temperatures around the Monterey Bay right now, it's 35 degrees in Salinas, 40 degrees for Santa Cruz, and 41 degrees right here in Monterey. Stay tuned for the KRXA Morning Show with Hal Ginsberg.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I think that's a corrupt audio file. Let's ditch that one. 23 minutes after the hour, and we continue with Andrea Battista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute. And, Andrea, I've been all over the place with the accents on your name. Do you say Andrea or Andrea?
Andrea.
Okay, Battista. And
you
say Schlesinger or Schlesinger?
Schlesinger.
Jur. Okay. You're not related to Dr. Laura.
That is for sure, no.
Now, we've been bashing Bush here appropriately, but let's turn to the leading Democratic candidates for president. And in particular, Clinton and Obama, who are the front runners. How appropriate do you think their economic policies are to address the huge inequities that have been exacerbated by Bush policies?
Well, I think, I think they've got plans. I've heard some chatter about the lack of depth to Senator Obama's mortgage industry reform proposals.
I just got a story from thenation.com today specifically about that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And also some concern over his healthcare proposals. You know, I think they each have the conflicting stimulus proposals, but I don't think they are really dramatically different. And I'm going to do a bit of a cop-out, you know, when, as I was talking about the ideology driving the address, I think at least with the Democratic frontrunners, you have an ideology of a progressive ideology in which you know the government needs to play a role. So mm-hmm. I think we would be in much better hands, regardless of which one became president, if either of them are to, than we are now. And surely then the Republican candidates who are debating, and this is my favorite, Senator McCain's reasoning for making the 01 and 03 tax cuts permanent.
Yeah, what is that?
Is that to not do so would be a tax increase.
Oh. Yeah, Bush laid that out last night.
Yeah, yeah. So you need to make permanent your mistakes because to undo them would be uncomfortable.
Well, and that would be like you or me deciding that we're going to buy a $28 million mansion and pay for it over the next 30 years because, we're optimistic that we'll have the income to pay for it.
Right. I mean, I don't mind an optimistic policy, but I think, our drum major institute philosophy is that reality is the best place from which to make public policy.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, you know, that's where our critique of the president's stimulus package comes in. When you know that extending and expanding unemployment insurance is going to work, you know you're going to get $1.63 back in return for every dollar that you spent. And you don't do it. And then you mask it in delay, mm-hmm. when the reality is less interesting to you than the ideological conversation,
mm-hmm.
You're not going to wind up with a good policy result. But what do you think of their plans?
Well, number one, I look at who is advising them. And my concern is that Hillary's people are the same Wall Street folks who and DLC types who advised Bill Clinton. And that we would probably, have more trade agreements, even though she said she might look at fixing NAFTA. She doesn't make a strong statement about that. And on Obama, I'm concerned. I would like to see him adopt some of the more populist and progressive arguments that come from John Edwards. And I would like to see John Edwards getting more love and affection and votes in these early caucuses and primaries.
We do our annual scorecards of members of Congress. And I have to say that although this year is a little bit off because neither Clinton or Obama really voted very much because they were busy in Iowa and New Hampshire,
right.
Their records are not so far apart. A couple of years ago, we were surprised that Obama got a C on our scorecard because and Clinton at that time did much better because he voted for that energy bill, which was essentially written by the industry,
mm-hmm.
and he voted against the Class Action Fairness Act, and which was a part of an overall effort to make it as difficult as possible for regular people to use the courts to hold government and corporations accountable.
Right.
And obviously that was worrisome. Both of them said they would have voted for Peru if they were there.
Hmm.
So I don't know what the distinctions, there are.
Yeah.
Part of it is having these conversations that they're connected. So what's the relationship between the stimulus package, your trade policy, and your thoughts on immigration?
Mm-hmm.
How are those things connected? Because the ramifications of them surely are.
Yeah. Well, Andrea, I'm out of time here, but thank you very much for joining us, and now I know how to properly pronounce your name.
Thank you, Peter.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger. Sure. Never mind. Thank you, Andrea. We're going to take a break and return. Jason Leopold will join us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today, and you can grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
State of the Union flashback. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It was 2003. The war in Iraq hadn't started yet, but the State of the Union was strong, and the terrorists were already on the run.
More than 3,000 suspected terrorists have been arrested in many countries. Many others have met a different fate. Put it this way, they're no longer a problem to the United States and our friends and allies.
In 2004, the State of the Union was strong. Saddam Hussein was gone.
Combat forces of the United States, Great Britain, Australia, Poland, and other countries ended the rule of Saddam Hussein, and the people of Iraq are free.
In 2005, the State of the Union was strong. We were still winning, although the enemy had changed slightly.
And the whole world now knows that a small group of extremists will not overturn the will of the Iraqi people.
In 2006, we were still winning against this new enemy.
Our coalition has been relentless in shutting off terrorist infiltration and turning over territory to Iraqi security forces. Fellow citizens, we are in this fight to win, and we are winning.
But by 2007's address, while the State of the Union was strong, that phrase didn't come until the end of the speech, and we learned that it would take a troop surge to continue winning in Iraq.
Our country is pursuing a new strategy in Iraq, and I ask you to give it a chance to work.
And last night, we got the report that we were winning again.
And over the past year, we've captured or killed thousands of extremists in Iraq, including hundreds of key al-Qaeda leaders and operatives.
Just like in 2003.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient proactive staff, trained certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras, whatever your needs. Call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Here at the Peter B. Collins Show, we welcome Jason Leopold back, and he made a request. We take requests. He just emailed me this song because he's feeling so optimistic today. It's Barry McGuire. Well, Jason, I'm sorry, I tried. But for some reason, the stereo effect is canceling out and we can't hear the Eve of Destruction vocals there.
Oh, man. Well, it's, as I said, a song written more than 35 years ago, and it has the same urgency as it did back then. And sorry I didn't get through you.
Well, remain patient. At the break, I think I have it in my tax-deductible music archives here.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah, I just have to find out where it's stored.
Yeah, yeah.
It's somewhere.
Great song.
Somewhere back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, welcome. Jason, of course, is an editor at truthout.org and has been covering a lot of important stories there. And, Jason, I wanted to ask you about the item that Bush just couldn't manage to include in the State of the Union message last night.
Oh, would that be the $70 billion that they're looking for?
Yes, the next Pentagon panhandling demand.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting because, Bush had urged Congress to, you know, pass the domestic surveillance bill, cut out all the pork spending, in regards to earmarks that are there, but somehow he just forgot about the fact that his senior members of his administration are going to be asking for another $70 billion, and that I don't even know if anyone can truly grasp this, but it's been just about 4 months, I believe, when they received more than $50 billion. Just to continue funding the occupation, they've burned through that.
Mm-hmm.
They have burned through that. You know, this is in March. It will be the fifth year of depending on how you count it. Some people count 2003 as the first year, but
mm-hmm.
the fifth year of the occupation, and we have far surpassed any records, and this is just. What's interesting, and I think he did purposely leave this out, because here we are talking about, economic stimulus plans, trying to revive the economy, but we keep burning through all this cash to continue funding the occupation.
Yeah.
And, I think that the Democrats, they are well past, the point of needing to not only just put their foot down, but to stand up to this administration. I think that it's time now, with the anniversary, that they really put a face on this conflict. And by that I mean taking a look at the vets that are truly affected by this. By the more that they continue, the Democrats allow the longer they allow this to go on without any end in sight, the more trauma and that these vets are going to experience. And by the way, the numbers are pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about injuries or post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injuries being in the few thousand. We're talking well past 100,000.
Right.
That's a number that people really need to start paying closer attention to, because these, for the most part, they're young, very young people,
mm-hmm.
whose lives are totally changed.
Well, Jason, it's just incredible. I watched the speech last night, and part of the reason my voice is a little raspy is, yes, I was screaming at the at the screen.
Yeah,
and it just really frosts me, because and this is a double-barreled attack. Because, yes, Bush has been an incredible, profligate, drunken sailor spending taxpayer dollars,
right,
particularly on foreign policy and the Pentagon.
Right.
And the Democrats have enabled it, to use the language of addiction and 12 steps.
Yeah.
They are the enablers here, because while they make noises about, they're going to cut him off and make him stop using, whatever metaphor you want to employ here,
sure.
he just keeps going. And they keep enabling.
Yeah.
And we still haven't seen any kind of accurate accounting for the money that's been spent to date. And
yeah.
he continues to present these emergency supplemental funding bills for Iraq and Afghanistan without any real timeline or framing. And so
exactly.
the $70 billion that was authorized just before Christmas, We were not told how long that is supposed to fund
right.
our troops. Of course,
right.
it's all for the troops. And now we have another request for $70 billion, and they kind of suggest that it might get us through the balance of 2008, but there's no guarantee of that.
Absolutely
and,
not. There's
and
not.
Where is Henry Waxman?
Right.
You know, if he's the guy in charge of oversight, then why don't we have hearings on a weekly basis and demand to know how this money is being spent
right.
and how it's being wasted?
Yeah,
Bush was allowed once wasted. Again to talk about reconstruction in Iraq last night in his speech. And we have poured billions of dollars into it and have very little to show for it. There are hospitals that have sewage flowing on the floors or coming out of the light fixtures.
Right.
And Parsons and these other companies have these cost-plus, no-bid contracts, and they're making millions and sometimes billions.
Exactly. And the spending is out of control. Democrats, I mean, you're absolutely right, Peter. They really need to... start looking at how the money is being spent because, let me just say that another $70 billion, if this latest supplemental, and by the way, I wrote about this last year, nothing has changed. By going through, putting through an emergency supplemental, you bypass the normal oversight procedures that would normally come from requesting that amount of money. That's a lot of money. So this is an emergency request here, and through an emergency request, you could shove it through pretty quickly. But the $70 billion will actually last if the way that's spending at its current rate, just another 3 or 4 months. We're talking about getting through the rest of this year. Perhaps as much as $300 billion just mm-hmm. to get through the rest of the year. You know, remember, we're up to almost $15 billion I believe it's actually $15 billion a month.
It's about there, yeah.
And so, but what they're also saying is that, on top of it, they need more money, because they're increasing activity in Afghanistan as well now. So they're actually looking for more money there. So we're really, getting to the point between last year that the money that Congress had handed over, and by the time this year ends, we'll be past $200 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the Democrats, they do have, we'll be talking about this, I'm sure, again and again. They have the power of the purse. They can certainly use the power of the purse to, demand that in his, in the last months that there's some sort of benchmark. And in fact, as we move closer, to the, primary, the primaries and, get closer to the election, I mean, that would seem just the right thing to do. To hand the president a blank check at this point would seem just foolish.
Well, and the hypocrisy and contradictions are just so overwhelming. Here's a president who has no credibility whatsoever on fiscal responsibility.
Right.
And he rejects the children's health insurance bill because
yeah.
it's too much money. And then Democrats and Republicans alike are willing to run up the deficit for
right.
this stimulus package. And,
exactly.
They're going to jam it through in a week and a half. And I'm not totally opposed to it, but the process here doesn't address any of the underlying economic failures of the Bush administration that will continue to lead us into recession or into a stagflation or even a deflation cycle
right.
That could be very, very dangerous.
Right.
And so putting a Band-Aid on this bleeding wound is really pretty meaningless, and
yeah.
Democrats seem to be content with it here in an election year.
Yeah, and you know what? They would be making it worse for whoever comes in office, whoever is elected president and is sworn in January, by continuing to fund and feed the addiction, it would just be worse for the next president. And right now, hearing Bush poke fun at
individuals who said that they would be more than willing to pay higher taxes, and in his speech last night saying, well, the IRS takes checks and money orders.
Right, yeah. He thought that was really funny.
Yeah, and meanwhile, he's asking for $70 billion.
Yeah.
You know, there is a truly, that true disconnect between, you know, the reality of what the economy is going through, and you know, what the policies are that they're pushing, and it's, you know, again, it makes no sense, and I would really, you know, like to hear Democrats, you know, not just speak up, but to actually, you know, take action. Unfortunately, you know, it's been more than a year since they were, you know, since they were elected majority, and I just don't have any confidence. You know,
yeah.
I don't have any confidence that the Democrats will, you know, do the right thing.
Jason Leopold with us from truthout.org. You can read his articles on the website. Once again, it's truthout.org. They are a nonprofit, and if you're in a position to fund their investigative reporting and their general publishing, I encourage you to do so. We're joined now by John in Carmel Valley. Hi, John. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I feel like I'm now on a one-track subject, but I'm not going to offer any apologies because I think I'm right on. There isn't going to be any change much at all in Washington until Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are removed. Their removal, either by a storming of the bastions by the masses, because that's what should be happening after we've been betrayed so many times and there have been so many ins and outs that have been hideously unattractive in this whole Bush thing, until they're removed, we're not going to see any changes. They're both incompetent and wrong-headed, and worse than that, I mean, I think Nancy Pelosi should be, the men in white coat should be at her door, and she should be taken for a sanity hearing. It's that bad.
All right, I get your point, John. Jason, you want to react?
Yeah, well, you know what? John's frustration is not isolated. There are clearly many Americans out there who feel exactly the way John feels. And, you know, last week, Nancy Pelosi, I believe it was last week, it could be, you know, a little longer, but she was at the airport, and I guess some protesters showed up wearing impeach pins, mm-hmm. Impeach Bush and Cheney, and she was very upset that people would actually confront her about that particular issue.
Well,
she was at the airport.
Last week at the Families USA conference, she spoke on Thursday morning, and one of the organizers tipped me off that her security people were very worried about Code Pink showing up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't think you have a lot to fear from Code Pink. They shout, they hold signs, and they wear pink.
There's certainly nothing to fear, but this is, again, you know, I think what John was expressing is that the, you know, certainly Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Jay Rockefeller, you know, these Democrats, the Democratic leadership, are absolutely out of touch with their constituents, with the public, with the people that had elected them.
Mm-hmm. And John, I definitely hear you, and I have one more thing to add. Okay,
Hitler.
Just let me say something here, because I recognize the failures of Nancy Pelosi, and I'm really on the verge, not of joining you in calling for her removal, because unfortunately, the next
start.
John, hold on. The next guy in line is Steny Hoyer, and he is worse than Pelosi. He's more of a consensus, compromise, sellout kind of a guy. And I would like to give Nancy Pelosi one more chance, which is to see if we can elect a more progressive Democratic Congress and see if she can use that to greater effect. Harry Reid, I think, should go. I think Dick Durbin, the number two in the Senate, would do a much better job of galvanizing Democrats and moving progressive positions. John, give me your final thought, then I got to run to a break.
Churchill said of Adolf Hitler, that grisly gang who work your wicked will, and that's beautiful alliteration, and it does apply to this. Unfortunately, In other words, there are all these enablers for Bush, just like there were for Hitler. And in our case, they're more a bunch of crazies and pansies rather than the grisly gang. Either way, it's awful.
Gotcha, John. Thank you very much. We'll continue with Jason Leopold in just a minute. The phones are lit up. We'll go to your calls as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Do you have some activity in the Santa Cruz Mountains? 17 at the summit, towards a slippery road service. This is due to rain, so CHP has activated the overhead signs to warn you. So just, you know, give yourself a little bit of extra time as you roll through there. Scotts Valley, southbound 17, after Glenwood cutoff, Caltrans is cleaning a mudslide out of the right-hand lane. So traffic, you're staring at brake lights all the way from Glenwood Drive. So again, do be aware you're losing that right-hand lane due to the mudslide. This is southbound 17 after Glenwood cutoff. Monterey, we got no problems to report. Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas County. So other than that, you're right. It's actually looking pretty good. Santa Cruz, though, northbound 1, Emmeline Avenue off-ramp. That shut down for some long-term road work all the way until summer of this year. KRXA traffic, it is brought to you by Cortisone 10. Choose Cortisone 10 for fast, long-lasting relief from itchy skin discomforts. It's enriched with aloe for soothing relief. So ditch the itch and feel the heal with Cortisone 10 Anti-Itch Cream. That's a look at your traffic on KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I think I got the right file.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill.
but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Barry McGuire, 65 or 66. We found it, Jason. Does that make you feel better?
Man, that is just such a great song.
Well, and...
seriously, that's a great song.
It's pretty apropos today, despite its age. Laura in Sacramento joins us, listening to KSAC. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I've got to start by saying I'm pretty much in John's camp.
Okay.
With regards to my feelings about the Speaker of the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But I called to talk about the President's economic stimulus plan. And just remind listeners to go back to the original premise of the president's administration. The government does not exist to serve the needs of the people, that the sole purpose of government is to serve the needs of corporate interests.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you're not going to see any, you've never seen and never will see any extension of unemployment insurance benefits for out-of-work workers, which I think distorts the labor statistics, because once your benefits have run out, you are off the labor rolls and you can no longer get an accurate picture of who's actually employed and who's not. That's another reason why you're going to see him repeatedly veto the S-CHIP program.
Mm-hmm.
Government is not intended to serve poor or working people. And until people get an understanding of those economic policies and can make an informed decision about rejecting them, I think we're just going to see more of this kabuki theater with Reid and Pelosi and Boehner and the president.
All right, Laura, I think you make a very compelling point. Thank you for the call today. I appreciate
Thank you.
It. Jason, let's talk for a minute about the president's attack on earmarks, because, again,
right.
Here's a guy with no credibility on spending and no credibility on the proper methods of legislating in the Congress. After all, he's the guy who's put forward over 700 signing statements.
Well, that's what was so comical, laughable about his, throwing the gauntlet down, if you will, with regard to earmarks. You know, now that the Democrats are there,
mm-hmm.
are the majority, suddenly, you know, Bush is singing a different tune. But for,
right.
you know, the 6 years prior to that, he had no problem with the earmarks and the billions and billions of dollars, you know, that that Republicans shoved through
right.
In those bills. And
you bet, Ted, and we have to single out Ted Stevens of Alaska for special mention.
Oh my God, yes, yes, thank you for that. And man, he is the poster child
mm-hmm.
when it comes to these earmarks. But you know, again, the president is talking about how to legislate,
mm-hmm.
how if Congress wants a particular program funded, that it should be debated openly. This is a an open system of government. Meanwhile, as you just said earlier, these dozens and dozens of pieces of legislation that have been passed, he attaches a signing statement and basically says, I don't feel like following the law that Congress passed.
Right.
So talk about a level of secrecy. I mean, wow.
Mike in Sacramento, go ahead. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, on the enabler thing, I really think that you're exactly right on the enabler. I actually think, though, you have the wrong target. I think the enablers are all of us registered Democrats who look at the poor Congress majority and say, oh, we hope they get a spine. Oh, we hope that they don't get scared and get bullied by Mr. Bush. They're voting for this. This is their fault that they own it just as much as Mr. Bush does, just as much as all the crazy Republicans do. They allowed this to happen. And until they're standing up screaming and yelling and being dragged into this, they own it. It's their fault.
All right. You make a great point, Mike. Let's go to Cindy in Sunnyside, Washington. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, I want to jump on the jam bandwagon with John. And I agree with him. I think Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are actually guilty of obstruction of justice, because
the impeachment off the table thing.
There have been crimes committed, and it's only by their obstruction in not allowing a hearing to find out and to know for sure. And so I think they're in the same position as Scooter Libby was. He stopped the investigation that was getting close to Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy and Harry are stopping the investigation that could save this country.
Cindy, thank you very much. Jason, thank you for your work. We'll talk next week.
Look forward to it, Peter. Thank
All
you.
All right. More of your calls coming up as we head into the Free Speech Zone next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The polls just closed across most of Florida, and one thing is already clear. CBS News estimates that when all the votes are counted, Hillary Clinton will have won the Democratic primary, with Barack Obama placing second. But the way things stand, it's only symbolic. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer joins us live.
Well, that's right, Bill. Elections officials here in Florida report a sizable Democratic turnout despite a primary date squabble that saw the National Party zero out the state's delegates. Many Democrats are angry about it.
I think it's garbage. It's just political playing around.
She voted for Hillary Clinton, hoping to give the New York senator bragging rights heading into Super Tuesday. Senator Clinton will be in Florida tonight to say thank you. Live in St. Petersburg, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
Now to the hotly contested Republican race with 57 convention delegates at stake. We get a live report from CBS News correspondent Peter King in Orlando.
Bill, CBS News estimates Mitt Romney and John McCain in a tight race for first, and the odd man out, likely Rudy Giuliani, who at least publicly was upbeat.
We're going to win. We're going to win today. That's our answer. We're going to win today.
But if he doesn't, his campaign could end tomorrow. For Florida voters, it wasn't just the candidates, but the issues.
Health care, this war.
Economy and the war, both all grip hand in hand.
Thought about the economy and health care.
The economy by far the most important of those, according to our CBS News exit poll, Bill.
Some pre-primary polls showed Giuliani running fourth behind Mike Huckabee. The former Arkansas governor was asked today if he thinks Giuliani will quit.
It's hard to say. He kind of hinted that he would make a decision about the future of the race tomorrow, and I think that caught a lot of people off guard. Frankly, my greater hope is that Mitt Romney and John McCain will also drop out.
Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius, who delivered the Democratic response to the State of the Union last night, got up this morning and endorsed a candidate for president.
Barack Obama has Midwestern values. Values that we know about, and he got them from his grandparents and from his mom.
Obama's mother was born in Kansas. On a vote of 385-35, the House today passed the economic stimulus bill. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
The overwhelming vote in the House moves the stimulus package to the Senate, where Democratic leaders say they want to make changes, including extending unemployment insurance benefits, funding road repair, and providing heating assistance for the poor. House Republican leader John Boehner, who negotiated the bill, says the Senate should leave it alone.
All of these other brilliant ideas will do nothing more than to reduce the size of the checks that the American people are expecting. I'm not sure that's going to go over real well.
The House's top Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, agrees, saying the Senate should take the House bill and pass it. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Walmart has an economic stimulus plan of its own. The retailing giant says it hopes to stimulate sales by cutting prices 10-30%. The Dow up 96 points today. This is CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your oil change sticker.
I've been in the sun too long. I think I'm peeling.
No kidding. How come?
Hello? Maybe you're overdue for an oil change at the dealer.
Oh, right. How about that?
Well, you know what? I should have written out the date or mileage to remind you. Oh, wait. I did.
All right. Time to go to the dealer.
Good idea. And don't worry about me. I'll be fine on your windshield for the next 5,000 miles.
See? Everybody wins.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service. Come in. Keep going.
Doctors will tell you their jobs are nothing like ER, and now the pharmaceutical industry has a beef with TV's make-believe medicine. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan has the story.
There's a medical battle over a new TV show.
You wouldn't happen to have any needles for an inoperable
brain. ABC's Eli Stone, a legal drama set to premiere Thursday night under fire from a pediatrician's group, which says scenes perpetuate a myth that vaccines can cause autism. An exec for the vaccine maker testifies in a court scene he wouldn't let his own child get a flu shot. The show's creators say it's fiction and they're not anti-vaccine. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
In Germany, beer is such a dietary staple they call it liquid bread, but Germans are drinking less of it than before. A government report shows beer sales have been falling steadily for more than a decade. Health concerns are one reason. Younger Germans are drinking more soft drinks and bottled water, but cost is another. Breweries have been raising prices. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Plus, now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax limits.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone, and I want to extend some free speech rights to two special people today. Susan in Eureka. She emailed me last night and said that she's decided to stop listening to the program because I don't support Hillary Clinton. And Susan, I'd like to hear your thoughts, and I'd like you to share them with our listeners, and we'll get a conversation going. And after that, if you decide you don't want to listen anymore, well, we will not guilt you or try to change your mind. Also, I want to invite Jennifer in Sacramento, and that's not Jen who has called before, but Jennifer, who called me after the show last night, and she's very concerned that John Edwards is not getting appropriate attention in this campaign. I certainly share that concern. And so, Jennifer and Susan, if you care to call and get on the line, we will take your calls first when we go to the phones in the next segment. That'll be about 20 after. And the number to call is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And by the way, I'm doing a doubleheader today. I'll be on Air America tonight. And at 9 o'clock Pacific time, midnight Eastern, One of my guests will be a leading official from the Hillary Clinton campaign. Her name is Kiki McLean. And we're going to have a lively conversation. The phones will be open. So I invite you to participate. I know we're live at that time on KSAC in Sacramento. In other Peter B. Collins markets, you may want to log on to airamerica.com and catch the live stream. Again, that'll be about 9 p.m. Pacific time this evening. Melanie Sloan joins us again today. She's Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, Peter. Do you have a cold?
Yeah, I got it in Washington.
Yeah, I was going to say, everybody in my office has a cold. So, and I know you were here, so I was thinking you sounded a little stuffy, and I thought you must have gotten it here.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how, but I flew on JetBlue, and one of the neat things is that they give you free airborne. You know, that's the little
yeah, I know what it is.
Homeopathic thing that's
it
supposed to
help you.
Well, maybe it did. It could have been worse. I feel a little bit better than I sound, at least today. So, Melanie, today you were involved in a news conference calling on the new Attorney General to deal with the politicization in the Justice Department, and in particular, the Civil Rights Commission. Let's start off with what the intended purpose of the Civil Rights Commission is and how it is not currently, the mission has crept, shall we say, during the Bush era.
Sure. The Civil Rights Commission was actually created in 1957 by President Eisenhower, and the point of it was to investigate allegations of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it has been often a hotbed of political activism. During the 80s, it was very controversial under President Reagan when he fired all the commission members, and he wanted to reappoint a slate of Republicans, none of whom believed in affirmative action. And there's been reauthorizing legislation in 1983 and 1994. And the Civil Rights Commission is really there to go around the country and to take allegations of discrimination and to take them seriously, to investigate and provide a forum for those kind of allegations. And recently, under the Bush administration, there's been this problem where the Civil Rights Commission, since its inception in 1957, was designed to be strictly bipartisan. It has 8 members, and 4 are supposed to be Democrats and 4 are supposed to be Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
This is very clear in the legislative history. Well, under the Bush administration, the Office of Legal Counsel in the Department of Justice, and yes, this is the same office that has brought us the torture memos and the wiretapping memos, mm-hmm. and said all of this is okay.
So J. Bybee, followed by John Yoo, followed by Goldschmidt?
Jack Goldsmith, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who left and then wrote a book exposing the problems at OLC.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, the OLC issued an opinion saying the Bush administration could go ahead and stack the commission with Republicans. And the way they would do this is somebody who was appointed to the commission as a Republican would change parties and become a, quote, independent, therefore leaving an apparent vacancy on the Republican side. And this has happened twice. And so now the commission is stacked 5-2. There's one vacancy, 5-2 Republicans to Democrats. And the OLC opinion, the Office of Legal Counsel, said that this was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Michael Mukasey came in during his confirmation hearings, he said he was going to be willing to review any OLC opinions that weren't soundly based. And so we, along with the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, the ACLU, the NAACP, the Mexican American Legal Defense Fund, and other organizations, sent a letter today to Michael Mukasey saying, you know what, you promised to get rid of these unsound legal opinions. You said you'd review them. Well, here's one. You should review this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, Mr. Mukasey is busy boning up on waterboarding and probably hasn't gotten around to the office of, the commission, the Civil Rights Commission.
Probably not, but we're hoping that he will, and it's my understanding that Mr. Mukasey is going to have an oversight hearing tomorrow in the Senate Judiciary Committee,
mm-hmm.
and we're hopeful that he's going to be asked a question about this OLC opinion and whether he'll be willing to review it.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there.
Now, if we have some C-SPAN junkies, who do you think might actually ask that question?
I think Senator Kennedy might ask that question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that and see if the Judiciary Committee really is active in its oversight of this new Attorney General. Because, as you know, I was very disappointed in the manner they let him testify at his confirmation hearings, using slippery language, vague terminology, and making some kind of open-ended pledges to review things, but not necessarily to fix them.
Yeah, I think we could probably see a lot more of that tomorrow. It hasn't really been that long since his confirmation hearings, and not that much has happened. He hasn't had an opportunity to screw up that badly. I think some of the bigger tests of Mukasey are coming down the pike. For example, the Inspector General and the Office of Professional Responsibility are supposed to issue a report in the very near future about the fired U.S. attorneys, and it'll be interesting to see if anybody ends up prosecuted for obstruction of justice or lying to Congress as a result of that.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion about the way he has dealt with the CIA videotape issue? He has decided not to appoint an outside counsel.
He did decide not to appoint an outside counsel, which probably would have been my choice, but he did end up appointing somebody not from within Maine justice, not someone who's very overtly political, but someone from the Connecticut U.S. Attorney's Office,
mm-hmm.
who's sort of a prosecutor's prosecutor, along the same lines of Patrick Fitzgerald. Patrick Fitzgerald being the prosecutor who handled the Plame investigation, who was also very widely revered in the prosecutor community. And I can't recall the name of the Connecticut prosecutor, but
I can't think of it either.
That same mold.
Yeah, I do understand his image, but I don't think Patrick Fitzgerald lived up to that in the Scooter Libby trial. I feel that something went wrong there because I just think they didn't go as deep as they certainly could have.
We were certainly disappointed as well, particularly given the fact that Patrick Fitzgerald apparently knew back in 2006 that there were missing White House emails and didn't push much harder to find out why they were missing and whether they were deliberately missing so that people could avoid prosecution in the Plame investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Melanie Sloan with us from CREW. Now, Melanie, you also posted a letter to Speaker Pelosi and Minority Leader John Boehner in the House today, asking them to start cooperating with law enforcement authorities pursuing what you describe as legitimate criminal investigations involving members of Congress. And you list Mark Foley, who resigned in disgrace just before the election in 2006, Dollar Bill Jefferson of Louisiana, who somehow is still there in the Congress, even with the $100,000 in cash in his freezer. And then you mentioned Jerry Lewis and John Doolittle, Republican Congress members from California.
Yes, this is a matter that you and I have discussed a little bit before, but this is something that is going to be a major issue that your listeners should really care about, and I think that the press gives it very little play because it's complicated. But this is all about the speech or debate clause in the Constitution, and the speech or debate clause says basically that legislative material can't be used against congressmen in prosecutions against them. And in the Jefferson case, involving the search of his office, the District of Columbia Court of Appeals expanded that view and said you can't even incidentally oversee speech or debate clause material, not just that you can't use it, but you can't see it.
Mm.
And that is impacting all prosecutions across the board of corrupt members of Congress. Well, it's one thing for members of Congress to start saying, okay, well, this is speech or debate clause material, you can't see it and you can't use it. But it's another thing when the House General Counsel's office, at Nancy Pelosi's direction, starts asserting it for members. And, for example, in the Mark Foley case, the prosecutors down in Florida have said, we'd like to see Mark Foley's computers, not because they want to see speech or debate clause material. They're not interested in legislative material.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for whether or not Mark Foley was sending emails to teenagers that
right.
are sexually explicit and trying to get them to engage in improper sexual activities. So that's what they wanted to see, and Nancy Pelosi refused to turn over those computers, saying the speech or debate clause protected them. And that's because their argument is, well, there was also legislative material on those computers, and prosecutors shouldn't even have access to that.
Mm-hmm. For me, the only thing that really gives me pause is that they raided Jefferson's office on a Saturday night. And I believe that under the circumstances that it's proper for the FBI to demand and secure materials from a suspect like Congressman Jefferson in a case of this nature. But I do think that they caused problems by the timing because it did appear to be something that was extra legal.
You know, I agree with you that, first, that members of Congress's offices shouldn't be sacrosanct any more than your office or my office is sacrosanct. Also, I want to point out that Congressman Jefferson had been avoiding a subpoena for months, and the Department of Justice felt like they didn't have a lot of choice. That said, Justice apparently went ahead with this, even though they didn't desperately need that information. Congressman Jefferson is being prosecuted without the use of any of the information from his office, and it's my understanding they have a very strong case.
Yeah.
And so what this case has done is really put all the state of the law in flux, and now people like Ted Stevens, the senator from Alaska, who had an Alaska oil company, oil pipeline company built in addition to his house, that investigation is really questionable as to how it can proceed given this bad district this appellate court decision on speech or debate clause. The Justice Department has asked the Supreme Court to hear the case, and they have yet to decide whether or not they're going to take it. So we have a lot of room here to see what happens. But in any event, it's our view that the House General Counsel's office, which is paid for by taxpayer dollars, so you and I are funding it, don't need to be helping out Jerry Lewis, John Doolittle, and Mark Foley in their legal fights to avoid criminal prosecution. Their own lawyers can do it for them.
Yeah, I agree. Melanie, thank you very much for your work, and keep us posted on these as they develop. We'll talk again soon. That's Melanie Sloan at CREW. Their website is citizensforethics.org. We're going to take a break and return to your phone calls. I see Jennifer's on the line from Sacramento. She's up first in the free speech zone, next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interest, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
good afternoon. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Do be aware you need to give yourself a little bit of extra time as you ride through the Santa Cruz Mountains. 17 at the summit, slippery roads due to the rain. So CHP has actually activated the overhead signs to warn approaching drivers, which is slowing drivers down just a little bit more. So definitely give yourself some extra time. Be a little extra cautious. Again, the overhead signs are activated southbound 17, northbound 17 at the summit through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Santa Cruz Mountains as well, southbound 17 between Summit Road and Laurel Curve. You're going to see some sluggish traffic. This is due to earlier Caltrans work in the right-hand lane. San Juan Batista, Bixby Road at 156. Solo vehicle had gone off the roadway. It was stuck in a field on the right-hand shoulder. That accident has been cleared. Traffic, it is brought to you this time around by Office Depot. Stressed about taxes, Office Depot can help. Hurry into Office Depot now through February 9th for TurboTax Deluxe with estate software on sale after $7 mail-in savings. Office Depot, taking care of business. That's a look at your afternoon traffic for KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I think of the presidential race like Hollywood Squares. I'll take Obama to block. And he's not perfect. The Resco scandal is bubbling up again in Chicago, and that could tarnish Barack Obama's squeaky clean image, no doubt about it. And so my lines are open here in the free speech zone. We're going to kick off with a caller from Sacramento who phoned me last night after the show. But wide open. If you're a Hillary Clinton supporter, bring it on. If you support Obama, John Edwards, Mike Gravel, Dennis Kucinich. Kucinich has dropped off, but his name will be on the ballot in California next Tuesday, a week from today. So tell me what you think. I want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jennifer, I'm glad you called, and thank you for phoning in last night. Why don't you tell our listeners what your concerns are about the presidential race and why, as an African-American woman, you have some hesitation about Barack Obama?
Well, I will say this. As an African-American woman, I really investigated and researched the policies of all the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at Barack Obama's record, there were some issues that really concerned me. For me, the issues that are important in this election is, number one, getting the death grip that corporations have on our Congress, just getting them out of our Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And, Barack Obama, in my opinion, based on his record, based on the fact that recently was when he decided he's not going to take lobbyist money for the presidential run, but has taken lobbyist money all the way up until he announced. Also, the fact that he still has fundraisers that are closed, meaning they're closed to the press, so we don't know who's there, we don't know who's throwing them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that give me pause, because I think all of the problems that face us as a nation, based on lack of health care coverage, Iraq, all of the major issues, if you have a problem in your life that's going on right now related to the subprime mortgage crisis,
mm-hmm.
related to the fact that, you know, you really have to think twice about going to an emergency room if your child is sick,
right.
It's because of corporations.
Now, Jennifer, I'm not disputing anything that you have said, but let me just offer that Hillary Clinton has a whole lot of baggage, and John Edwards, whom I admire and I really appreciate the message and the issues that he has brought forward in this campaign, but I cannot understand for the life of me why he took almost $500,000 in a salary from a hedge fund, Fortress Something Investments, which is part of the subprime meltdown and the exploitation of low- and middle-income homeowners who tried to get a piece of the American dream. And so my point is not to ding John Edwards individually, but to say that we don't have a perfect choice among either, any of the three top candidates on the Democratic ticket.
Well, you know what, Peter? Here's the thing. This is where you take your clue from. You take your clue from the fact that in London, when business leaders of this country are freely expressing themselves about the election and who they would hate to see in the White House, they unanimously say John Edwards. When the head of the United States Chamber of Commerce issues a warning to candidates who are anti-business, they fear Edwards. The fact that the corporate-owned media has from day one sidelined Edwards and focused on this as a race between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton shows you who they fear. GE owns MSNBC and NBC.
Right.
Those are the corporations, okay? Those media outlets are owned by the corporations. They frame this debate. Now, in terms of...
And let me just add in your favor, one of the other things that they've done is describe John Edwards as angry for his attacks on corporate America.
Exactly.
And I think that's really ugly. Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. To me, if you're not angry about what they're doing, I'm an attorney, and a few years ago, I volunteered at a debt collection clinic here in Sacramento. And you wouldn't believe the amount of people who came in who were being hounded by medical bills, who were probably considering declaring bankruptcy. Of course, this was right before they passed the 2005 bill.
Right.
But they were getting ready to declare bankruptcy because of medical bills. So when I'm talking about this, in my neighborhood, I see bank-owned homes, and this is a pretty upper-middle-class neighborhood. So here's the thing. When you look
Jennifer, hold your thought, because I know you have more to say. I got to take a break here. We'll be right back and let you finish, okay?
Okay.
More in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B. Tell me what you think about Jennifer's points, and does it make you want to vote for John Edwards? More in a moment on the PBC Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Holistic and alternative practitioners and individuals love the energy from the Amethyst Biomat. It offers natural and effective heat therapy in NASA-based technology. Far infrared heat simulates the immune system by causing an artificial fever and stimulating the immune system with multiple benefits. Improve many bodily problems with alkalizing your pH, removing acidic waste deposits responsible for most illnesses. Just lie on it to benefit with five different sizes. Give the power to create a fever and cure most diseases. To find out more about what the Amethyst Biomat can do for you, visit www.amethystbiomat.com. That's AMETHYSTBIOMAT.com. Or call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262. That's 1-888-337-7262.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander.
Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. Collins Show, Transmito en Vivo. We are live from San Francisco. Ricky, how you doing?
La reina de la noche, la diosa del vudú. Yo no podré salvarme, podrás salvarte tú. La tela de la araña, la uña del dragón. Los infiernos, ella es tu adicción. Te besa y te desnuda con su baile demencial. Cierras los ojitos y te dejas arrastrar. Te dejas arrastrar.
34 minutes past the hour. We continue now with Jennifer from Sacramento, and I can hear those lively kids in the background, Jennifer.
Yes, I do. I have. That's my 10-month-old.
Oh, great.
So go ahead and
conclude your thought for the benefit of our listeners. Some people may have tuned in during the day-long commercial break there. Jennifer has been describing to us her concerns about Obama and also some of her reasons for supporting John Edwards. Now, Jennifer, given that Edwards is polling so far behind, will you vote for him next Tuesday?
I will.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Because it's so important to me. These issues are issues I cannot compromise on. And, you know, Martin Luther King III wrote a letter to Edwards saying that Edwards is the one who's continuing his father's work. He is the one that's continuing the fight for economic justice. And when you look at The Nation came out with an article recently that said that Barack Obama's plan for dealing with the subprime loan mortgage crisis is actually to the right of even Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I got that today.
And you know, when you look at things like that, I'm just asking people, you know, it's wonderful, and I think it would be so great to have, you know, a symbolic a change in the White House, whether it's an African-American or a woman. But I really do think that the crisis that's facing us requires drastic action, meaning that we have to swing the pendulum all the way to the other side and get rid of corporations because they're killing this country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm concerned. I have three kids. I'm concerned about the kind of future we're leaving for them. And for that reason, I will vote for John Edwards on Thursday, on Tuesday.
Yeah, be sure to do it on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. And, you know, that's just what I have to do. And I hope that people don't really look at the issues and look at where the candidates stand and do not simply vote based on this, you know, viability or mainstream message that the media has been putting out since the very beginning, because they've had that message from the very beginning and it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
All right, Jennifer.
Only showing you Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, you're going to think those are the only two who can win. That's not the case. And John Edwards is the only one, when they did a poll that includes all three of the candidates against the Republicans, he's the only one that beats John McCain outside of the margin of error.
Yep.
The only one.
All right, Jennifer, I've given you lots of time. Take care of your baby, and thank you very much for your passion.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Tom Unzicker joins us. He's a man with some passion, and he, of course, is riding his bicycle from Santa Cruz to Washington, D.C. He left Santa Cruz on December 15th. His quest is to bring courage to Congress, and he's got some precious cargo on the trailer of his bicycle, and it's bags of balls to deliver to members of Congress to give them a little courage. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Peter B. How about you? I understand you got a cold.
Yeah, but it's survivable. I'm not out riding 100 miles a day in the winter weather. What's it like? It looks like I'm looking at the map here that you're on your way into South Carolina.
Already in South Carolina. I'm in Florence right now, and I'll be in North Carolina tomorrow, Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what's the weather been like for you?
Well, up until yesterday, it's been a warm of 41 degrees.
Well, that's tolerable. I mean, if you're working your aerobic energy, it should help you keep warm. I mean, it's not 20 below like the Packers game.
Well, not like the Packers game, but with the wind chill from forward speed and headwinds, it gets down in the low teens and sometimes approaching zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like being crispy on the outside and warm and gooey on the inside.
Well, we haven't talked in a few days. Any highlights you want to report?
Yeah, I've been, like I mentioned before, I've started becoming more of a pollster than a listener.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a real theme that's developing that showed itself with some ladies in Columbia, South Carolina that I spoke with. I started asking them about terrorists and the war. On the war, they want it over. They want the troops home now. And so I asked, well, what about the war on terror? And they said, well, we don't really think about it. I said, are you afraid of the terrorists? And they went, well, only when we see it on the television.
Mm.
And that is a theme that I've been hearing. People are not afraid of terrorists. They want the National Guard home. And they're smart enough to believe that if the terrorists do get here, it's better to have the Guard here to clean up and protect us than it is over there. But the only time they really think about it is when the media makes a big deal of it.
Yeah. Well, and, that at intervals, Bush and Cheney try to up the fear. And the media were very compliant. As stenographers, they deliver the message, and many people respond to it.
You bet. It's the tail wagging the dog, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Now, any conservatives you've encountered who have messages for you to take to Washington?
Actually, the conservatives that I've encountered are giving pretty much the same message. It's really interesting. No real interesting ones.
Mm-hmm.
I did run into a South Carolina policeman. Remember I mentioned Buford Pusser the other day?
Yeah.
This guy was... I got dumped onto an interstate for 1 mile.
Mm-hmm.
And there just happened to be a policeman there. And he literally said, you get yourself over here now! You can't be on this freeway! You get yourself over here now! So it was an interesting conversation, but I had Thomaston, which is a Georgia Pacific. It's one of the few prosperous towns I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I was riding into town, and there were a couple of kids, young boys, riding their Christmas bicycles across the road, being observed by two young ladies, maybe 6 and 8 years old, in pink dresses. And they looked across the highway and saw me on my bicycle. And one of the little girls said, what's he towing? And one little boy said, well, he must be selling something. And they all started yelling, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream.
Oh, that's interesting. And what kind of emails have you been getting at CourageToCongress.com as people follow your progress on the Google Map?
Well, they're interested, number one, that I have the energy to keep going, but they're also very concerned about all of the things that we've talked about before, the economy. They want me to, they want it to happen. They want Congress to act.
Mm-hmm. And do they think that a $300 or $600 check will be meaningful?
We haven't really talked about the economic stimulus package.
Mm-hmm.
In the emails, but the people that I've spoken with in reality, no, it's not going to be meaningful at all.
Yeah.
It's going to be part of a mortgage payment, or it's going to be a car payment. It's going to be left. One of the things that I've noticed about the Southeast, Peter B., is that there are more pawn shops here than I have ever seen in my life, and they're different kinds of pawn shops. They've got what they call title pawn. And it's like check cashing shops, pawn shops. Everybody here is living hand to mouth.
Yeah, I know that there is a proliferation of these payday loan centers in the Southeast.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you see title pawn, anything with a title, a boat, a car, house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a pedigree dog with a title, I'm sure you can pawn it, too. But I'm getting very tired of dogs.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
But at any rate, the economic stimulus package is kind of being laughed at, from what I can see.
And, Tom, what's your ETA? What's your projection now of when you'll hit Washington, D.C.?
Well, I have 5 to 6 days of riding. I'm about 540 miles away.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I'm looking at getting there somewhere around Super Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully being able to make the presentation later that week and get on the big silver bird and come home.
Great. Well, it's quite a quest, and you're very close to achieving it. So hang in there, and you and I should talk soon off the air the next few days so that we can get a welcome committee for you when you get to Washington.
Oh, Peter B., I would love that. You have been a mainstay for me. I mean, you're a touch with reality and a voice of reason.
Well,
you mentioned, you know, I really respect what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. That's kind of you. All right, Tom, we'll talk again soon. Stay well, stay on the road, and stay as warm as you can.
Thank you, sir, and you get well, too.
Tom Unsicker, CourageToCongress.com. Watch his progress as he makes his way to Washington, D.C. And Dave joins us on the line now from Eureka, longtime caller to the PBC show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Peter. Good to hear you. I agree with everything your previous caller, what was her name, Annette?
That was Jennifer from Sacramento.
Yes. I think the hope for this country now lies with Edward Kucinich would have been the best, but I am now convinced more than ever, and you know I go back a long ways on my fears of election fraud, and it's worse than I ever thought. I do believe right now they have the capability that if 90% of the people voted for Edwards to take away 90% of his votes and give them all to, say, Tiger Woods, they could do that.
Tiger Woods, I didn't know he was in the race.
Well, they could put in whoever they want. You know,
there's already a report of shenanigans in Florida where in one precinct there were more votes than voters.
Yeah.
So we do have problems. Anything else, Dave?
Well, I'm also getting real concerned about Nancy Pelosi. I think that she's much more a part of the problem than any hope for a solution. I know you've liked her in the past and had a lot of faith in her, but right now she is actively playing along with the Bush scheme.
Well, Dave, I'm losing that faith in Pelosi, but I know her and because I know what I believe her inner values are, I do consider her different from Harry Reid. And I think Reid is completely ineffective and should step down. And it wouldn't be totally upsetting to me if Pelosi stepped down. I don't think it's likely. As I pointed out earlier, the problem is that the people behind her in seniority, like Steny Hoyer, would actually be worse. And so it's a mixed bag. And my sense is that we need to keep the pressure on. It's very disappointing. You heard Maxine Waters on the program last week acknowledge that the Democrats are dialing back on Iraq. And now there's another $70 billion request. And will they even posture this time before they cave in, or will they simply write the check? And on the spying program, the NSA, there is a moment of hope in the Senate yesterday as they refused to allow the measure with immunity to continue forward to debate. And yet we know that that saga will continue, and the propensity for a sellout is very big there. So I share your concern, Dave.
Thank you, Peter. Sometimes there's little glimmers of hope, but not that much yet.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. More of your calls coming up in a moment. I want to reference an email here that I got last night from Susan in the Eureka area. And I invited her to call today, but the lines have been jammed, so perhaps she wasn't able to get through. But she said that I was pleased when I found your show, but I've decided to quit listening. I'm a lifelong Democrat. Originally, I supported Bill Richardson, but recently have given my support to Hillary. I'll admit I wasn't thrilled with her, but she's growing on me. I decided to support her as opposed to other candidates for a number of reasons. The fact that she's married to Bill and the fact that she's a woman are strong factors for me, but I respect Hillary for a number of other reasons. She took a lot of heat during Clinton's presidency for being an active first lady and for trying to get a universal health care program on the national agenda. She was a very active first lady when Bill was a governor and when he was a president. I understand your points there, Susan. I don't think that is Oval Office experience, and I think that she is really stretching it when she says she is more experienced than the others. I also say that the fact that she withstood the scandals of her husband's presidency doesn't necessarily mean that she is fully vetted and that, you know, you write here, she's been thoroughly tested by the Republican mudslingers. I'm sorry. They've got loads of mud, and it's loaded up and ready to fly. Susan goes on, I wasn't happy with Hillary's vote for the war, but I'm a pragmatist, and I know that she really had little choice given the public support for the war. I'm sorry. There were over 30 Senate Democrats who voted against it and hundreds in the House who voted against it. And are you saying that they knew more than she did? I think it was all about the same there, and I think she made a calculated decision to vote there for the war. Susan goes on, I know that Obama has a lot of negatives, fairly extensive drug use, and she parenthetically says, I support legalizing marijuana, Muslim father and stepfather, atheist mother, mixed marriage. Now, damn it. This is Sean Hannity talking points. And why I'm hearing this from somebody who says she is a liberal and a Democrat, it just drives me crazy. Because the fact that he has admitted that he used drugs as a teenager means that he's telling the truth and that that can't be used against him. Except by slimy people like Billy Shaheen, who works for the Clinton campaign. And consider that Bill Clinton continues to dance around his drug use. I didn't inhale. And George W. Bush has been given a free pass. We know he was a heavy cocaine user. She also finds fault with his middle name. And when I wrote her an email last night, I said, hey, we had Lyndon Baines Johnson, we had Richard Milhouse Nixon, and we had Harry Truman, whose middle name was S. You're telling me that his middle name is a barrier to the presidency? Well, I don't agree with you, Susan. But I respect your point of view, and I am grateful that you took the time to send me this lengthy email. And I still invite you to keep listening and call the program when the urge strikes you. More in a moment here. The lines are jammed. We'll get as many calls on as we can before the end of the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins, and you're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Do have an accident in the Santa Cruz Mounds. Northbound 17 after the summit. This is a big rig and a car. They mix it up. Did manage to get it over to the right-hand shoulder, but you know, that's a pretty narrow right-hand shoulder, so it's going to cause you a bit of a backup. Again, it's northbound 17 after the summit on your ride through the Santa Cruz Mounds. Monterey, Fremont Street on-ramp to northbound 1. Watch out for two ladders dropped into the lanes of the ramp right there. And Santa Cruz County, got to make your way around a vehicle with a flat tire. This is northbound 1 at San Andreas Road. A vehicle with a flat tire. It's sitting in the right-hand lane. Reports as well that the driver is actually out of the vehicle and changing that tire in the right-hand lane. So do keep your eyes open. Northbound 1 at San Andreas Road. This vehicle, again, is in that right-hand lane. Also have some road work going on in Santa Cruz. Northbound 1 on the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp. That off-ramp actually closed until summer of this year. So that's how long you got to make your way around those cones. Traffic is brought to you by Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue is doctor-recommended to eliminate flakes and itch and contains aloe and moisturizers to keep both your hair and scalp healthy. Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. That's a look at your KRXA traffic.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
The Otter Kelp Bed is busy at week's end. On Friday, Cal Poly Pomona comes to town to visit the Otters. Saturday, CSU San Bernardino will face off with the Otters. Game time, 7:30 p.m. Go Otters!
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. Great wines imported from France, all grown organically. Check out their website at ecowine.com and call them toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. That's 888-ECO-WINE. As I mentioned, I'm doing a doubleheader. I get an hour for dinner, and then I'll be live on Air America, coast to coast, 7 to 10 Pacific time tonight. We'll be live in Sacramento from 9 to 10 p.m., and that's when you'll hear a representative of the Hillary Clinton campaign. We're going to have a lively conversation between 9 and 10 Pacific. If you can't get it on your radio, log on to airamerica.com. Chris in Salinas, thanks for calling. You're on the air. Let's see, who's there on line 5?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Peter B.
Who's this?
My name's Jean.
Okay,
I'm
Jean.
San Francisco.
All right, the line rolled over, and you're there, so go right ahead.
This has to do with Hillary. It's a notion I've had for a while, and now with yesterday's endorsement from the Kennedys, it's sort of coagulating for me. When Hillary got to New York State, it seemed that she supplanted what we used to call the East Coast intellectual liberal heart of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this endorsement for Obama might have reversed that thing that she did when she did her New York carpetbagging. And I just think everybody's excited. It's like that ethicalness that we used to associate with that East Coast Dem strength.
Yeah.
I think it's beating again.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
And who are you leaning toward?
Oh, I'm an Edwards person.
Mm-hmm.
But it just was very exciting to me to see that. She looked so out of it yesterday at the State of the Union.
Well, I'll be generous to anybody who's running for president. It's grueling, and it's got to take a toll.
Last year, she was right in front grinning at Bush the whole time. It was quite bizarre.
All right, Jean, thank you very much. Now to Diane in Eureka. Welcome, Diane.
Oh, thank you, Peter B. I think your middle name must stand for Bright Point of Light in the Dark or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
Speaking of middle names. But no, my point was, there's been a blackout on NPR for over a month that is pretty obvious when they're talking about just moments ago. I was listening and they named, all five, down to Ron Paul and Huckabee, where they stood, the Republicans. And all I've heard of who's winning with the Democrats is Obama and Clinton. Not a word, honest to God, about Edwards. I have not heard a word on NPR. And the other point was...
Has he threatened their corporate underwriting?
One would wonder.
My other
point was that you had a caller last week when you weren't there who just berated Nancy Pelosi for being an abomination. And, what he's not considering, I think, is the fact that she wants, those in office to pay for their misdeeds. And she, as the, Speaker of the House, who's going to stand in if they were impeached? It was because she was taking no impeachment proceedings. I mean, it's kind of obvious.
I'm very frustrated by her resistance or refusal to even consider impeachment. I think it's ridiculous.
It has led
to the losses that the Democrats have sustained over the past year. And as I've said on many occasions, you don't have to go full term with impeachment to send a message, a shot across the bow to Cheney and Bush, that they're going to be held accountable for their lawbreaking.
Well, she's just hoping that they're going to be held accountable for everything else, before they leave, office.
Yeah.
And the impeachment, is it only while they're in office? I mean, can they be tried for war crimes and everything else that they've,
It's not really clear to me. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not sure what chances we have to prosecute them after they leave office. There is a certain immunity for actions taken, in elective office, and the violation of their constitutional oath is properly responded to by impeachment.
You know, I bet the sharp minds out there could you know, get the skewers sharpened.
And maybe the next president will sign on to the International Criminal Court, and that's where we can find some justice for these jokers. Thank you very much. Let's go to Sandra in Sacramento. Hi, Sandra.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Doing okay.
Listen, I just want to say something about the Obama business. I mean, just on the strength of, you know, all the hell that people of color went through in this country, it would be totally transformative to have him as a president. Mm-hmm. But with that said, I'm an Edwards person because Edwards is able to tell people of color the truth about, you know, life in America today, whereas Obama skirts it, chastises black fathers, doesn't deal with the incarceration issues. I mean, he sidesteps race, I guess, because he needs to, but it isn't really playing that well for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just am not bowled over by him. But, of course, like you, I'm going to vote for any Democrat.
Right, yeah.
And I would prefer him or Edwards over Clinton.
Right.
Because I don't want Clinton there for a lot of reasons, but mainly the dynasty aspect is really getting to me now.
Oh, yeah.
We
need
something different.
Well, I agree. It's a difficult set of choices, not perfect in any respect, but as I mentioned earlier, using the Hollywood Squares analogy, I'm voting Obama to block.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Good evening.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a break here. I'm going to have dinner, and then I'll be back on Air America tonight if you care to listen. And I'll be back on the radio here tomorrow. Same time, same great radio stations. Thanks for tuning in to the Peter B. Collins Show. Go to peterbcollins.com and grab a podcast.
Again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happened.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. An hour after most polls closed in Florida, the outcome of the Republican primary remains in doubt. We get the latest live from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Bill, this one is shaping up as the tightest Florida primary race since Gerald Ford beat Ronald Reagan back in 76. And this race is much tighter than that. With 47% of the vote counted, John McCain 35%, Mitt Romney 32%, Giuliani and Huckabee a distant third and fourth. Now, whoever wins Florida stands a really good shot at winning their party's nomination, at least if we're to believe what's happened in the past. Since 1972, only two Florida primary winners have come up short. Live in Orlando, Peter King, CBS News.
As soon as the polls closed, CBS News was able to estimate Hillary Clinton the winner of the beauty contest Democratic primary.
Thank you, Florida! Thank you, Florida Democrats!
Barack Obama is second, John Edwards in third place. Rudy Giuliani spent more time in Florida than any of his Republican rivals, but CBS News chief political correspondent Jeff Greenfield says the tide of events turned against him.
There's the apparent progress in Iraq, which put new life into the John McCain campaign. Then the emergence of the economy as a dominant issue, playing to Mitt Romney's strength, making Giuliani's record as New York mayor and 9/11 hero less potent. And then a barrage of personally damaging stories. The indictment of longtime aide Bernard Kerik. Stories about police protection for his then mistress, now third wife, Judith Nathan.
Giuliani has said he'll evaluate the future of his campaign tomorrow. Exit polling tells us something of what Florida Republicans were thinking today. Political scientist Tim Versalotti is a CBS News consultant.
Republican voters were looking for candidates who shared their values, followed by candidates who had the right kind of experience to be president. Mitt Romney ran strongest among the voters who looked for candidates who shared their values. John McCain ran strongest among voters who wanted a candidate with experience.
Nearly half of all primary voters said the economy is their number one concern. The economic stimulus package won overwhelming approval in the House today. Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We accomplished a great deal for the middle class. We accomplished passage of a bill in a bipartisan way to give relief to